Praise the Lord. God is good and His goodness endures forever. We'll continue today speaking about the way to be blessed. We will read from a scripture in the Old Testament, and that is Exodus chapter 32. And while we are reading, we will take certain points and we will see how we can apply them in our daily life and walk with God. And we will see how the Lord would bless us as we continue to walk in His way and do His will. The way to be blessed is not that you do something that will let the Lord bless you. No, the blessing of the Lord is there. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sin. We cannot add any more to the blood of Jesus to be saved. We are saved by grace. And also we cannot add more so that God will give us more blessing. God already had given us the blessing. The way to be blessed is to know the way we will receive these blessings. Not that God will give more to us. Our good things will not promote God to give more to us. But God already had given the most, the maximum. All what He gave us. But the way to be blessed is that the blessing is there. But how we can receive it and how the blessing of God will flow in our lives. Those who disobey the Lord, the blessing of God is around them, is given to them, but they are not able to receive it or enjoy it. The way to be blessed is the way to receive the blessing that already God had sent for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint this time. Anoint my lips, O God, and let your message be clear to each and everyone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the message will give clarity and understanding and wisdom. I pray that the message will give help and healing and deliverance and hope and assurance and clear direction and wisdom upon your people. Lord, help me and put right word in my lips. O God, I pray that you direct the message and arrange it according to thy will, and take your word and send it to those who are in need to hear this message. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The event that we are going to read in Exodus chapter 32 is when Moses went up to the mountain to meet the Lord, and the Lord had given him in his hand the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, and the Lord spoke to him a lot of things, and the Lord wrote the commandments that he wanted on the tablets. While Moses was there on the mountain, let us read what the people, his people, the people of God, down the mountain they have done. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." When Moses was not there with them, the people, they were not able to see the presence of God. When the Moses, the leader, was not there to teach them and direct them, they were tempted to go back to the old life. And you find here Aaron, the priest that Moses had put instead of him down to lead the people. We find that the people, in the absence of Moses, they empower Aaron and force him to do something. And Aaron, and here, as we are going to read now, he go along the people. He does not like the people to get upset, and he want to do something for the people. In the same time, he want to be also the priest. But that is not the way to serve God. Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earring that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." What we find here, the people took their gods and all the ornaments and all these and expensive things that God had given them, and instead that they will use it for the glory of God. They will use it to make an idol for them. And we find here that the priest, he is condoning that. And that is where the false teaching is going on. We find here that many people who are Christian, they dedicate their time and their effort, their money, their treasures for making certain projects or certain things. They think that when they are doing this, that is their good, that is for their good future. And also they will say that is for God, but inwardly, from inside them, they are not intended to glorify the Lord with what they are doing. They are just using the priest of God and the name of God in a wrong use. Let us read here. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." Many people, they do a lot of things, and they will say that we are doing it in the name of the Lord, and they will invite somebody to pray, and they will say we celebrate and we pray, and we, all this, we are doing it for the glory of God. But in fact, what they are doing, as they are moving away from the away from God, by moving away from His commands, they are honoring their idols, their ambition, their wrong way of living, and they are using the name of the Lord and even a prayer in the name of the Lord in vain, in a wrong direction. But their false motive and wrong motive in service and life is hidden, but to God everything is clear. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. And that's where the people, they make celebration and feasts and meetings and a lot of things. They will spend, they will prepare food, the name of the, they will use the name of the Lord, but they are far away from the word of God. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Their life, it witnessed to their wrong way of faith and their wrong teaching and their false teaching. They come in the name of the Lord, but their lifestyle and their behavior after the fellowship and after gathering together, their way of life, it shows that they are not worshiping the Lord, but they are worshiping their idols, they are worshiping their love of money, they are worshiping their desire to get for more, they are worshiping their selfish ambitions and their plans that is not approved by the Lord, and they are not in the real will of God. Verse 7, then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt." They become corrupt because they start to worship idols. They are no more interested in the word of God and to obey the word of God and to apply the word of God in their life. But they were and they are interested to make their own way of living. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." After God delivered them, God saved them, God made them rich, God gave them gold and expensive things, instead they follow, they keep the word of God, they become corrupt, they become worldly like other people around them. For them is God something, a shape or a figure, that is our God, and they worship as a, they do it as a ceremony, as a ritual things, as a traditional things, but no obedience to the word of God, external worship. They worship, as the Lord say, they worship me in vain, they worship me in their lips, but their heart far away from me. They have a fine way to nullify the word of God in order to keep their own tradition. And here we find the people in a state that they will offer to God what He had given them from good things, they offer it to idols. And that's where the people, when they got rich, they got promoted, when they have much God's blessing in their life and deliverance, instead they will cling to the to the Lord and follow Him. We found them, they got corrupted, and they were quick to turn away from the way of the Lord and His command. And here we find that the absence of Moses in their life for a while make them think that we can go back to the old life. The Lord said to Moses in verse 9, I have seen these people. The Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. God was very angry to what had happened. Moses not yet seen what had happened, but the Lord is seeing everything, and the Lord want to destroy all the people. Here we find the right action of Moses, but Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. He sought His favor. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that He brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. We find here Moses is interceding on the behalf of the people, and that's what we need to do to those people that we have preached the word of God and we have giving them the message, and they have responded positively to it in the beginning. But when we turn our face and we move away, we find them, they are doing the wrong things that the other people are doing, and they went back to the old life. What we need to do is first we need to pray and intercede for them, because what they are doing is igniting the anger of God against them. We pray and we intercede and we ask God to forgive them. We ask the Lord to give them another chance. Most of the time, when we see such kind of people, we also getting angry, and our anger will not allow us to pray what Moses had to pray. But here, let us remember that the prayer that Moses offered, it turned the anger of God and make a way for the community to get recovered and get saved. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the star in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Moses reminding the Lord about his promises, and he is asking the Lord to forgive those people. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on His people the disaster he had threatened. Your prayer and my prayer is effective to intercede on the behalf of the evildoers. As we pray, God will make for them a way that they get repent, and those among them who are willing, they will be brought back to the Lord. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God and engraved on the tablets. Moses was carrying the commands of God. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablet out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they have made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Here we found that Moses, when he saw the people are doing, he himself get very angry, and that is the anger for the zeal of the Lord. What he did, he took the calf, that is the golden calf, and he break it and make it to pieces, make it to a powder, and he put it in the water, scattered it in the water, and make the people drink it. That's a very heavy metal and poisonous. And how we can apply this scripture in the New Testament? When we, after we pray for the people repentance, when we find them and we see them, we need to face them with the message of repentance. We need to explain to them their wrongdoing clearly, their wickedness clearly. We have to verify it to them, and we will tell them also clearly what is the consequence of their sin and what will be going happen to them as a consequence and as a punishment to what they have done against the Lord. This is a very heavy message that we need to tell. Most of the people, they avoid to offend the people. But here we find that the scripture leader, we need to pray for the people, and we have to tell them the whole truth. Even if our talk, it caused them to be very upset, but that is fine, because the message that Jesus commanded us to teach and preach is the message of repentance. The apostles, when they were sent to preach the message of repentance. Paul, he preached the message of repentance. Peter, he preached the message of repentance. John the Baptist also, he preached the message of repentance. All of them were speaking clearly and confronting the people that they need to repent, and they will have real consequences if they will still continue to live in sin. So the same, after we pray and intercede for the people, we go and face them with the sin they are doing and the consequence of their sins and what the Lord will do to them as a consequence, and if they will not going to repent from that sin. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin?" And now he is facing and confronting Aaron that he put as a priest, and he led the people. He is facing him again with this sin. Aaron said, "Do not be angry, my Lord." Aaron answered, "You know how prone these people are to evil." He tried to excuse himself, but he also tells some fact that the people are prone to evil. That is the important here, you must understand. When we preach the gospel, when we teach the people, there is still inside of them the flesh, the desire to go back to the old life. That's why we need to go over and over again and to repeat the message to them so that they will realize the importance of it. And that's what you find here. Moses, after he preached the message, he went up, then he went down, and he faced the people with the same message. The word of God, they refuse to follow. He faced them with the message about the consequence and the hardship and the punishment that they will receive if they will not repent from their sin. They say to me, that is Aaron explained to Moses, they say to me, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him," because they are not able to see God. When they see Moses, they were reminded that they need to follow. And that is the authority that God gave to Moses, and that is the authority that God gave us. As we go to the people, they cannot see God, but they will see us. As they will see us, they are encouraged to follow God. If they don't see us, they are prone to go to the old life. That's why we need to continue with the people until they are able to see God clearly, and then we will be less needed to go to them frequently. Once they experience God and they will see God and they will meet God face to face and they experience Him, then they will continue to walk in the way of the Lord. So Aaron, what he did, so I told them, whoever has any gold, jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I throw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Here we find Aaron. He tried to excuse himself. He wanted to put it on the people. Yes, that's true. He was pressurized, but he should take his stand, not to agree with the people. Anyhow, we will continue and we'll see what is the next step that we need to do when such condition is happening. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, so become a laughing stock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Here we find the wisdom of God upon Moses, and here we find the effect of the prayer of intercession of Moses. The camp that they were in riot against God, they were around 2 to 3 million people. They have heard the message, but they turned back and went back. Among them is the priest Aaron. But after Moses prayed, he went down. He faced the people hardly with the message, as he took the golden calf and break it to pieces and make the powder and scatter it on the water and make the people drink the water. He faced them with a very hard message and the consequence of their sin and what they have done wrong. He faced them face to face. After that, Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and he challenged the people. Those who would follow God, they would go with him. So out of the people who hear the message, those who respond to the message, they were the Levites. Those, they were the responsible to take care of the work of God. Those are the workers. And that is here the clear way for us how to do ministry. We preach the message. And then when the people hear it, and then they may go back to the old life, then we challenge them. We go to them again with explaining more deep about the message. They may get offended, that is fine. They may get upset, that is fine. But then we will challenge them again. We will challenge the crowd. Those who are for the Lord, that we will challenge them to continue to go, to come with us and to serve God. Then we will find among those people our workers. And here what we found here, after Moses, he got the Levites, the workers, with him. He gave another command. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man shall drop a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp, from one end to the other, each killing his brother and a friend and neighbor." The Levite did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Here we find that Moses is commanding the Levites to kill their relatives who, and their friends and their brother or son, those who are doing sin against the Lord and they are not willing to repent. So the Levites, they respond to the word of God, to the command of Moses the leader, and they did those who, according to the Old Testament law, those who are disobedient, they will be put to death. So around 30,000 people died. We may say that's a large number of people die. Yes, it's a large number. But we find here that when the 30,000 people died, the rest of the camp, around 2 to 3 million people, they got preserved. And here we find a way for us to do the ministry. After we preach the message, the people go back, we challenge them with the hard teaching. Those among them who are willing to follow God, then they will rally with us. They will be with us as our workers. And then those workers, and all of us are workers. And Jesus said, if anyone loves his father or mother or brother or sister or daughter or son more than me, he is unworthy of me. So we are challenged by the Lord not to compromise with our relative, with our people, with those who are blood relative to us. We are called to stand with the Lord. When you stand firmly with the Lord, many people who are very near to you, your relative, your friends, your neighbor, your children, your parents, your brother and sister, they may get upset with you. And when you speak the word of God, the word of God is like what we find here, the Levi, they were carrying the sword on their side. And as Moses told them, go back and forth in the from one end to the of the camp to the other. And here we find also for us in the New Testament, the word of God that God give us is also is sharp. The double-edged sword is like a sword in our hand. As we preach it and teach, people who are very near to us, they may get upset. But that is fine, because the rest of the community, the rest of the flocks, the rest of the people who would respond to the message, they will get preserved. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Here the word of God is very sharp. As we teach and preach, people get offended, but many people, they got discipline. The fear of God will be there, and they will commit their ways to the Lord. That is how the word of God teaches us how to do his work and his service. In verse 29, then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. We read again, and that is the way to be blessed. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. That is in Exodus chapter 32, verse 29. The way to be blessed here, as we respond to God's call, as we respond to come out from the world, as we respond to be separated from the world, as we are called to come out from them, as we are called to touch no unclean things, and the Lord would receive us, and we will be set separate, we will be set aside to the Lord, then the Lord had already blessed us. Those who respond to God's call, and we are among them, and we have come out from the world when we were against our families, our brothers and sisters, many they accuse us, many they misunderstood us, many they persecute us, but as we did this, we have received the blessing of the Lord. As we kept the word of God, and we use the word of God to proclaim his goodness to the people, then we are blessed by the Lord. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. And that is the way to be appointed by service. When you rally toward God and stand with the word of God, stand with Moses, the servant of God, stand with the people of God, those who proclaim the message, stand with the church and the sound teaching, and when you come out from tradition, and when you favor God and his word more than blood related people, brother, sister, father or mother or relative or neighbor or friend, then you are confirming your choice and your calling by the Lord, and then you will be blessed by God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, who has given me good health, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, to be a worker, to be God's servant, to be a Levite who do the his duty in the house of God and in the work of God and in the sacred work of God, then that is a blessing from the Lord. Don't allow worldliness, don't allow compromises, don't allow some friendship or relationship or some influence by a neighbor or relative or friends or parents will affect your decision from following God and being a real worker. Then you will be receiving the full blessing from the Lord. As Moses said to the Levites, the Lord is saying this to us, as in Exodus chapter 32, verse 29. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit our ways to the Lord. Commit your life and ways to God. And tell him, "Lord, thank you for your word to me today. I realize that you had called me and you have set me apart to serve you and to worship you. Enable me, Lord, to walk in your ways and to acknowledge you as Savior and Lord over my life. Help me and guide me and strengthen me with your grace and your mercy, Lord. Guide me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I am willing to serve you." Tell him, "Lord, kneel down at his feet and tell him, "Oh God, I am no more with the world, but I am coming to you. I stand with you. I follow your word. I will not compromise. I will not favor friends or relative or neighborhood over my relationship with me, with you and my commitment to you. But Lord, you will have the full priorities and the privilege of my life. Lord, lead me and guide me. Take my right hand and lead me in the way that you want me to be, O Lord, and protect me and provide for me, Lord, and equip me, Lord, so that I can serve you. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each and every brother and sister who commit his way and life unto you. Uphold her and uphold him. Equip your people and raise him up and bless him. Oh God, let your blessing reach him, oh God, and they will receive it fully, oh Lord, so that everyone will know that they are blessed and they are anointed and they are ordained by you. Take your message and your word and bring it, oh God, with the power of the Holy Spirit to those who are in need to hear and to receive your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.